So let's pray. Lovely God, thank you that you are our loving parent. Pray as we listen to your word, we hear you teaching us, encouraging us, we know your love for us.
Amen.
So, as Louise said, today in our series on relationships, we are looking at the subject of parents. This can be a tricky subject because although I don't suppose anyone here was actually dropped off by a stork, so we do all have parents or have had parents, but we will all have very different stories about what it's like to have a parent and to be a parent. We will have different experiences. Some of them will be good, some of them will be bad, some of them will be happy, some of them will be sad, some of them will be just middling and normal, as we might say, or I don't know, no use to say that. Many of us will have parents who are no longer with us, and some of us will have parents that we don't have relationship with anymore, for many different reasons, and some of us will have parents who are close. Maybe we have parents who live a little bit too close by. So it's all a big mixture of feelings and situations, isn't it? So we're going to look at the Bible passages that we've got today. I'm going to bring out some things that I hope will be helpful. And it's up to you to listen and to apply it to your own life and what God is saying to you today. So we're going to start with our Old Testament passage, short and sweet. Honour your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this is one of the Ten Commandments, which are given to the Israelites. They have just been rescued from slavery in Egypt. This is set in the context of the beginning of the Ten Commandments. It's talking about this is who God is. Mm-hmm. This is what he has just done for you. And therefore, this is how God wants you to live in the place that he's taking you to. How he wants them to live as God's people. And in freedom. This is what he's rescued them for. They've got a fresh start. So this is the first of the Ten Commandments to actually have this second clause in it that gives a kind of promise. If you do this, this is what will happen. So this is about how to live. This is how your days may be long in the land that your Lord your God is giving you. It's about life and life in abundance, which is what God promises us. In response to God's saving miracle, how will we live? So the Ten Commandments address how people are to relate to God and how they're to relate to each other. So the first few commandments are all about God and honouring his name and all those kind of things, not making an image. And then it moves on to relating to each other. And this is the first one of those, to honour your father and your mother. So we might ask ourselves, what does it mean to honour? So I think what springs to my mind first is respect, is valuing what parents do for their children. And so I wanted to start with saying, if you are a parent, take a moment to appreciate that God appreciates you. This commandment is saying we should be honouring parents. So there is a lot of value in bringing up children, even when it is very hard. And of course, we all get things wrong. None of us are perfect parents. But God sees that you are doing a job that is worthy of honour. So please be encouraged. You are doing a really important and hard job. So how do we take this into our relationships with our own parents? If we take a closer look at the word honour, the commentaries tell me that the Hebrew word is kabed, which has a meaning to do with being heavy or a weight. So once the interpreter says, you could understand it as it's something that you give weight to, something that has a high value or worth. The opposite word that is used in the Bible sometimes is they translate it as to curse, but actually has a kind of meaning of making light of something or regarding something as not being important. So the opposite of that, to honour, is to value something, to give weight to the people who have raised us. And I often, I see within our Western culture that more and more older people sometimes get disregarded as being of no value. We can often dismiss people. We think people have old-fashioned values, or perhaps we think, oh, they're not economically active. That's a terrible word, isn't it? Or we dismiss people being past it. So I think here we can actually learn something from, for example, Asian and African cultures, where there's much more of a respect for elders. When I lived in Tanzania, I started learning Swahili, and when we learned the word for old man, they were like, this is a great word. If you call someone old man, they'll love it. Because it's a term of respect, where you think if in English you went, all right, old man, what are you doing? And they'd be like, what are you talking about? Go up to an older age and say, old man, they're like, oh, love it. It's respect. So it's a different mindset, isn't it, of what we're putting value on. Do we like new things to be bright and shiny, or are we respecting people who have years of wisdom, hopefully, on their shoulders? But it's also a little bit vague, isn't it? Honour your father and mother. It doesn't really give you the specifics. And maybe that's intentional, because as we know, relationships between parents and children are always very different. And each person and situation is unique. And no person or relationship is untouched by sin. And also the relationship between a parent and a child is constantly changing. From complete dependency of a little baby and a parent, until before you know it, they're starting to run around, and then they're having opinions and preferences and being interesting and challenging, and they start to ignore you. And then there's this constant pulling away, isn't there, and letting go of children, of renegotiating the relationship, and children grow up, but hopefully maintaining bonds of love and care. So this commandment is sometimes vague. It doesn't tell you exactly what to do, so we need to apply our own discernment to our own relationships. So you might wonder, how do we apply this to an abusive or a bullying relationship? Or how do we apply this to parents who have passed away? How do we keep listening to God, to what's happening in our relationship? And of course, we'll always get it wrong. And at some point, as both parents and children, sin is always causing us to miss the mark. And God's love and forgiveness is constantly calling and enabling us to repent. Especially as we're in Lent at the moment, we're thinking about how can we turn ourselves around and orientate ourselves towards God and towards how He calls us to live our lives. So how do we do that? Well, maybe it would be interesting to know how God would treat His parents. And it just so happens, of course, that in God made man, Jesus Christ, we have an example of how He does treat His parents. Mostly his mother, because I think they believe that his father passed away before India. So, we've heard two slightly different, maybe contrasting stories of Jesus relating to his mum. So I'm just going to draw out a couple of things from that which I think would be helpful. So first we have the story in Mark, when Jesus has come back to his hometown, and he's basically being mocked by all the people. He doesn't even have time to eat or do anything. People are saying that he's got a demon, and his family comes to try to restrain him. Now, I don't think it's necessarily clear whether they're trying to do that because they're worried about him. You can imagine his mum going, can't he eat? I need to take him home and look after him. Or are they going for the, he's gone crazy, we need to get him away before he brings shame on our family. So it's not entirely clear what's going on there. But whatever it is, Jesus doesn't go with his family when they come to get him. He doesn't even go outside. He just when they send a message for him to go out and see them. So I'm going to suggest that perhaps our first lesson is that honouring parents doesn't always mean obeying them. Especially when you're an adult. So it's quite interesting to compare another time that Jesus' family were looking for him when he was a child, and he'd gone off, run off into the temple, and they were searching for him, and they don't understand what he's doing. And he honours them then by going home with them, submitting to them, growing up. But when he's grown up, and he's doing his Heavenly Father's will. He's doing what he knows God wants him to do. They try to take him home, but he refuses. So sometimes parents don't understand or know what's best for their grown-up children.
Daddy.
And we do all have to make our own decisions and build our own lives. We can't always do what our parents want us to. And that can be hard for parents to let go and potentially let their grown-up children make their own decisions, make their own mistakes, choose their own opinions, follow their own path in life. And equally, it can be hard when parents interfere in your life or criticise you or try to control you. So honouring doesn't always mean obedience, but it is about love. If we look at the passage in John, Jesus is dying on the cross, and he sees his mother and his disciple John, and he puts them into the care of each other. Even as he is suffering, he looks after the needs of others and makes sure his mother will be looked after. So she is. John takes her home, into his home, and looks after her. But it's not just a one-way arrangement, is it? As all relationships, it's reciprocal, with giving and receiving on both sides. As John becomes a son to Mary, so she becomes a mother to him, and perhaps to some of the other apostles as well. So, with our relationships, there should be love and care and respect on both sides in order for us to flourish together in our family. So, it's not about obedience, it is about reciprocal care. And number three, for our three reasons. In God's kingdom, we have new family members. So, in the Mark passage, when Jesus says, "Here," he looks at people in front of him who are learning from him, his disciples and followers. He says, "Here are my mothers and brothers." He begins to redefine family in relation to his Heavenly Father, in people's response to God. And the song we were singing earlier, "I'm a child of God, in my Father's house there's a place for me." As we become, we're all in God's family, aren't we? God is our heavenly parent, as we've been saying in our liturgy. That relationship begins to redefine everything about us. We know that we are loved and accepted by God, and that's where we have a new parent, I guess, in that sense. But we also have all of us together. Jesus is introducing us to a wider understanding of family and relationships within the kingdom. As we follow Jesus, we become brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers to each other. On the cross, Jesus transformed the relationship between Mary and John, creating a family relationship that wasn't there before, creating a relationship that would provide nurture and care for both people. And that's what he's constantly doing with us. Part of our core mission as a church is to follow Jesus' example of putting the lonely in families. Whatever biological or earthly family we have, we are also included in God's spiritual family. And God's spiritual family on earth is the church. So our church community, in our relationships, we should be seeking to honour each other, to respect and care for each other. So we can say that the church is not just a service or event that we come to once a week, but it's also a new family in which we are welcomed and cared for, and in turn, we care for others. So this is what I see in the example of Jesus. Deep and genuine care for parents, balanced with the conviction to walk his own path, even when it conflicted with parental expectations. And placing family in the context of a new and expansive understanding of human relationships, that all people are brought together in the love of God. So as we finish, I want to look back at that word honour, or the Hebrew kavet, used in the Ten Commandments, and that sense of weight and heaviness. Because it also points to the fact that our relationships with our parents or children are not always easy and can feel like a weight. Maybe because the relationship is difficult, or the needs of ageing or sick parents are high. In the new family of God, we are asked to bear one another's burdens. So I wonder how we might lean on each other as we face the challenges of the relationships God gives us. How we might weep with each other, encourage and help one another, and rejoice with each other in our growing families. As I said at the beginning, we all have different families. So what might it look like for you to honour your father and mother? Maybe it means remembering them and keeping those memories alive in your wider family. Speaking about them. Maybe it means trying to forgive them or praying for them. Maybe it means caring or calling or helping or listening. Maybe it means respectfully disagreeing with them. Maybe God is offering you a new family here at church. What do you make of Jesus' example that we've looked at today? It's up to you to listen to God's leading in your own relationships. But as we've said, the church is here to support each other. Maybe you'd like to talk with someone about your family. Is there someone you trust here at church? Or how could you listen and support each other in your midweek groups? The life God is inviting us into is about love, isn't it? Of learning how much God loves us, and of growing in love for ourselves and for other people. Our lives and relationships are always a work in progress. But let's see what happens when we let the love and leading of God shape how we live them.